were talking just a minute ago before we turned the tape over about your consumer educational background and how you really
pioneered
through the fields to
help it
be developed of what it is today. You mentioned that you had a telephone right in your home to a secretary.
We had an office in the Better Business Bureau in Los Angeles, and they provided a secretary. The different stores went in together and paid for this secretary. The Better Business Bureau provided the. We decided it wasn't wise to meet in the different stores because there would be a little feeling of, you know, you were giving more publicity to one store and another. So we decided that we should have a neutral place to meet. So we were offered the office in the Better Business Bureau, and the stores went in together and provided a fund to pay for the telephone in my home, not my own telephone I had, but this was a telephone that was for consumer education. And then the secretary was there. So we'd have a consumer committee from all different fields in Southern California, and we'd meet down there at the Better Business Bureau. And then in the meantime, when we didn't have the meetings, she would read to me letters that came in every day over the telephone, and I would answer them over the telephone. And then, you see, I was able to do it along with my homework. I mean, with keeping my family, I was able to do it where I couldn't have if I'd had to go down there every day.
So you worked in the home and was able to maintain your family life.
That's right.
Did I'm sure that this took some time away from the...
Oh, it took a lot of time, but at least I was there, you see, physically, when the children came home from school and all that sort of thing. And that lasted for many years and included a lot of things that were very interesting. And I was on many different types of committees. And then the war came along, and then the everything had to be curtailed. You see, the merchants couldn't afford to spend any money on this type of thing, and so we had to fold it up and let this all this go. And so while they still taught in adult education, they taught the consumer things, but still there was no organized, and there hasn't been up until the consumer movement now.
Were there very many men or working in this organization of yours, or was it predominantly women?
No, it was women.
It was predominantly women.
The men cooperated with us, but this was a women's organization.
It was a women's organization.
Yes.
But the men did cooperate. They didn't give you any sort of static.
No. They were very, and it was written up all over the United States and Printers Inc. and all kinds of things. And we had a workshop at the Biltmore Theater where the furniture manufacturers cut furniture in two and gave a demonstration of how furniture's made, and we had all kinds of things happen like that. It was really interesting.
It must be very interesting. Your family was at one part of your life, and after 1932, the consumer interest was
well. That is one of the things I was into. I was also interested in lots of things.
Yes. What other things occupied your
I was interested in the Christian education movement in colleges, you know, and I was president of that in college, and I was on the YW board, and I used to be a YW secretary, as I told you in the earlier tape, and so I was on the YW board in Glendale, and I was in Republican organizations and very active, and then just practically everything in musical organizations. I did as much time as I had outside of my family to do civic things, and I was always very interested and willing to share up to a certain point.
So
I was always very active.
Your husband allowed you to do this, and didn't
yes, he realized that was part of my life, that I was like a caged person, you know, beating my wings against, but I didn't have outside activities. So he was very wise. And he was very active too. He was district governor of Kiwanis, and he did, and was in the bar association. He was president of the Los Angeles Bar Association when he died. So he was always very active too. So we understood each other and cooperated and helped each other and made it possible to do these outside things. But our family came first.
Your family was the first thing.
That's right.
If you had studied, I believe, sociology and economics in college, if your husband had, if you had wanted to pursue a career in this aspect, would your husband would have let you?
I doubt if he would have been happy about it, but he probably would have let me, but he wouldn't have wanted me to.
He wouldn't have wanted you to,
no.
And you
no.
would have, and your reaction was then what your husband wanted.
That's right,
what,
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I felt I had a big enough job, and as long as I was having cooperation and doing these outside things as a volunteer, I thought that was much better, because I do better work when I'm doing it as a volunteer than when I'm paid for it.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did your children, you were home, you worked out of your home during this time, what was your children's reaction to the fact that you were obviously very involved?
They sometimes got a little upset when I was too busy, and so if I found that to be the fact, well, then I'd slow up. If I could see the reaction on them, well, then I would slow up and cut down on some of the things I was doing, which you have to do, you know. You can get too involved, and you know, when you do things, people think, oh, well, she does it so easily, give her the job. You don't do anything easily.
No.
Of course not. But you may not let it show how much work it is and how much planning you have to do and all that sort of thing. So I was always very conscious if I saw any reaction on the children or on my husband, that I would slow up and...
Slow up.
Yeah, and cut down some things and reorganize my time better.
Did all of your activities in the consumer affairs and the Y and everything like this, did this give you any opportunity to do any socializing with neighbors and friends? And
oh, sure, you did that.
You belonged to any clubs.
Well, sure,
you did. Social type club.
Oh, yes, you did that. You had the opportunity through the different organizations you belonged to. Sure, civic clubs and so forth, and that's where you got your social activities as well.
Was your husband involved in any clubs besides the Kiwanis?
Yes, he was a Mason, and he was a Kiwanian. That's a... Kiwanis Club is very, very strong. It's like the Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an officer in that, and was always very active, and he spoke a lot, and he was in the Bar Association. Yes, he was very active.
So.
Very fine speaker. And, of course, he was an attorney and a trial attorney, so he was very busy. He did trial work.
He was away from home for a lot of the time?
Well, yes and no. He shielded himself. He never would allow business to come into his home, and he would never allow, over the weekend, he would never allow people to interrupt business-wise. He would tell them they'd see them on Monday, call at the office. But he was very, very strict about that. Didn't let it interfere. And he played golf. He enjoyed that very much. He had...
The organization that your husband belonged to, did they allow women to belong to them also?
Oh, well, no, they didn't belong, but they invited them to women's meetings, you know, special times.
Special times.
Yes, but they didn't belong, no.
Did any woman ever want to belong to them?
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask them. I didn't find out. I don't know whether they did or not.
So you really...
I didn't care about belonging.
You didn't care about...
I was busy enough without wanting to belong.
You were busy enough. With the... your activities, your social life was, you said, with some clubs. What did you do with some of these?
Oh, well, if it was a Republican, why, you worked in politics. And if it was civic, you worked in civic things. And if it was PTA, you worked for the school, the children, and all that. They were for special things.
Naturally,
that decided it.
If you
played bridge, why, of course, that's what it was for.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because your husband had a relaxation
golf.
I was wondering if you had had a form of relaxation that you did.
Yes, I was with a bridge club that started in when we were in college and lasted for just recently. Then they got so they moved around and they couldn't drive, and so we had to give it up just in the last couple of years. we've been going ever since then, all this time, and you keep in touch with your friends that way.
You hear that there's a lot of discussion and interesting talk at bridge meetings. Did you and the other women, they were all women, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. at the mm-hmm. meetings, these bridge club meetings, what kind of conversations did you...
Oh, mostly about your family and, you know, that sort of thing.
And
politics.
And politics, mm-hmm. so it was like your children growing up. You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take the time at these meetings to discuss any of the political issues?
Oh, sure.
At all?
Sure.
What, for instance, was the feeling? Was it, I believe, your grandfather Hayes was the one that was killed
because he was a prohibitionist, yes.
Did this influence your attitude toward in the 20s?
Well, I don't know whether that was that influenced it or not, but I have never been a person that we didn't have drinking in our home. So whether that influenced or not, I haven't the slightest idea, but I have never been interested in having that as a part of our home, and so we didn't have. And, of course, some of the ones that were in the bridge club, some of them did, some of them didn't. So I don't know that we discussed it particularly, but they all understood that they could do as they pleased, but I wanted to do as I pleased, and so that was that.
Did women gossip back then? Like,
oh,
they
I think
didn't?
So. According to what you call gossip, I would say yes. I would say yes. I think they still do.
If you had problems, was there ever a problem that you could not discuss openly?
Oh, everybody has a problem when they don't discuss openly.
With Pat, that you might have been able to discuss with these women?
I've never thought about that. I don't know. I'm sure everybody has regions that they don't share, but I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. I really wouldn't know.
Where did you do your thinking?
Well, for instance, you know, at night when the children were small, at night while you do your ironing or your pressing or mending or something like that, and while you were doing that, you see, they didn't have television in the beginning. You see, we started in with the crystal sets radio, and that was when the children were small, was when crystal sets came in. So, you see, in the beginning, you didn't even have that distraction. So you had time to think and do something more than just, you know, just stagnating. So I had always been interested in a lot of different things. And so I took not only lots of magazines, but I was always interested in new types of thinking. And so all my life I've bought books and read books that are what you call way out, like ESP. I was interested in that when it first came in, and that sort of thing. And you know what ESP is, of course. Yes. Well, anyway, and another thing I've always been interested in, and still am, and that is old sayings, like the Magruder reading books. They're before my time. But I have copies of them, and I have some originals, because they had maxims in them, memory gems, truisms, and that sort of thing. And so I've always been interested in that, and I gathered them. I listen, if people say one, I keep a pad ready, still do, and write it down fast like that. And I have over 800 that I have written down. You know, like a stitch in time saves nine, and look before you leap, and beauty is only skin deep, and those are just the common, ordinary ones. Looking for a needle in the haystack, it's like looking for a needle in the haystack, and you could name a thousand of them. But anyway, for a while there, maybe 10 years ago, if you listen to young people, they had no vocabulary at all. It was all da or some silly thing that they'd say. You know, they didn't have any warmth of conversation. And let's see, one of them, the slang that they use, for instance, what do they say when they're, somebody's going to leave? They call it, you should know. Well, anyway, it doesn't make a difference. So I commenced to be concerned because I felt that all of these sayings are a reflection of the warmth of our lives and the differences in different parts of the country, because some of them come from the Bible, some of them come from Shakespeare, some of them come from life, like strike while the iron is hot. Do you know where that comes from?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, you could think about it, I'm sure you'd remember. That's from the anvil and blacksmith shop.
Yes.
You see, when you have the hot iron there, why, unless you strike when the iron is hot, it won't mold. You see, it's cold and won't do anything. So and those things come from a certain place, but they don't mean what they meant at the time. They mean something else.
Mm-hmm.
For example, look before you leap. Now that means if you're going into anything, investigate and know where you're going before you decide anything. And still water runs deep. And just 1,000 ones like that. They don't mean anymore what they originally meant, but they have a connotation that is in today's world. And so I have these and some of them are cliches, and some of them are typical of a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example,
an area of the country, that is.
Yes, some area of the country. For example, put your shoulder to the wheel. Now, where would that come from? Would you imagine how that would that
farm area?
Well, yes. Or how long? How far back? Put your shoulder to the wheel.
I don't know.
Well, for example, in the old days when they had stagecoats and they get in a rut in the mud, all the passengers have to get out and put their shoulder to the wheel and get it out of the rut. Well, what it means today is everybody cooperate and help when you have a problem.
Oh,
you see, and it's very, very interesting. Now, there is a book, which is Bartlett's, and it is... they've gone into, it's the standard, and they've gone into the background and where these came from and all that. But it is so very technical that it's very difficult. You really have to be a student of that sort of thing, ceramics and whatnot, or you can't use it. And I have the book, but I just listen, and if anybody uses one, why, then I say, where did that come from? Where did you hear that? I keep a little pad and write it down. And I have over 800. So that's just one of my hobbies. I don't do anything with it except enjoy it. But people can enrich their lives, and that's the reason that I say that when people are bored, I think it's very sad, because there's so many exciting things to be interested in, regardless of what your age is,
mm-hmm.
that I think it's very sad if anybody has to admit that they're bored.
With these activities that you did you keep active at all, being that you lived in the Los Angeles area, Glendale's not that far today from downtown Los Angeles and USC, did you keep active in your sorority? And
oh, sure.
And have
and I was on the board of the YW. In fact, I started the YW at USC, and we built a building out there, and I was on the board, president, and so forth. Sure, I kept active.
How has the... have you been active? How has this affected your life as far as being active in other clubs? Have you ever had one thing besides consumer economics that sort of stayed with you?
I didn't. Sure. I think the
throughout life
welfare of the country has been. And the moral standards and so forth, I would say, has been an overriding interest and connected with many different things. But the direction that we are going and the the importance of the family and all that sort of thing, I would say has been a consuming interest, and it would show up in many different organizations. But I never was interested in belonging unless I was interested in what they did. I wasn't just interested to keep busy. It had to be something really challenging. I wasn't interested in giving time to it.
Okay.
And when I moved up to the mountains after my husband died, well, I moved up there so that I would have a gathering place for the family, and they were, of course, grown men and married, and so that there would be an opportunity to keep the family unit, even though they were all married and had their own interests, and I wanted them to be individual people, but they would have to be a central place, a gathering place, or everybody goes every which way. So until I moved down here, you see, I was up there for permanently for 20 and a half years after my husband died. And I was active up there, and I still kept active in a few things. For instance, I was on the Crippled Children's Society for 25 years in the state board and the county board just recently.
Did you take, you said you when you were younger and you and your husband were having a growing family, that you had lived in health. Did you maintain this living health throughout your career?
Oh, no, my, pretty soon you couldn't get anybody. They wouldn't work. You know, they wanted to work, they didn't want to live in. They wanted to, that was about 1940, 45, no, right after the war. It was right after the war, about 1950, you couldn't get help. They wanted to be paid by the hour, of course, and they wouldn't do window washing, they wouldn't do laundry, they just come in and want to run the vacuum and all that sort of thing, and then pretty soon they didn't even want to do that. And unless you paid $300 a month, you couldn't get help.
How did that change your lifestyle for having...
Well, you had to do your own work, and then
26, sure. 23, having lived in to 1940.
In a big house, you had to just change your way of doing things.
Did you know how to do the things before?
Well, sure, I knew how. If you don't know how, you can't tell other people to know how to do it, or you can't tell them, or you can't maintain a standard if you don't know how to do it yourself. I was always a very organized person, and people liked to work for me because I was organized.
Did you do any planning?
Oh, sure.
Around the home?
Oh, my, yes.
What did the live-in do at your home?
Well, the living gets the breakfast and cleans the house and does the laundry and under direction.
How was the lunch and dinner hour?
Well, you know, what do you mean, how was it?
Did you cook the meals for the lunch and supper?
No, they cook it except for the days off. No, they'd cook it and you would have a different, of course, a nicer standard of living because you'd be able to be a lady.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was one of the great changes. But I never was a feminist. I believe in equality, but I think they've gone quite a bit too far in this sort of thing. So I was never one of these rabid feminists.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in people doing as much as they can on the outside to be as interesting and worthwhile a person as they can be. But to do it and leave the main responsibility, which is your home, to other people that you pay to take care of your children, is all wrong. I think during a certain time in your life, you've got to decide what's important and decide on your priorities and do what you can, stick to your priorities and do a good job of those. And I think that's one of the things that has caused all of this problem in the world, is because women have become too unwilling to meet their basic responsibility in life, because women are different than men and they should remain different. And I think it's good for men and women to work together and not compete with each other.
So you're work together but not compete?
That's right.
Okay. Well, what about the person who are both the newspaper writers? They're really competing against each other if they want to move up the ladder to the head editor's position.
Well, that's true, but...
And yet they're working together.
That's true, but if two people who are married and they both have ability and jobs and so forth, you have to cooperate instead of trying to be better than the other one. You've got to cooperate and give a little. Either the person, if you're going to work, then the person, the husband has to help with the housework. You have to have that kind of cooperation.
Did your husband ever do any housework?
Well, he did when it was necessary, but we had help most of the time. We didn't need to do much. Yes, he did the yard work and did plumbing and stuff like that when it was necessary. He did anything that was needed to be done, sure.
Great.